Hello and welcome to episode 95 of the Lieberland Show. We're getting close to that century mark, folks. We got a rock star guest in the building here today. Many of you may know him. If you don't know, now you know. We have the Cashflow Ninja with us. Yes, Mr. MC Laubscher. MC, how are you doing on this this beautiful day?
Fantastic, and thank you so much for having me, and congratulations on all the success of the show. This is the 95th one, so after this one, just five more, and you hit that 100 mark, so congratulations.
Thank you. You know, we're at some point going to hopefully catch up to you. I think you're at about 1,000, right?
We're getting there slowly but surely.
For your podcast, on that note, like, I'm just curious because I haven't taken a look in a couple months. What episode are you at right now? I know you're definitely over 500. Are you in the 800?
Yeah, we've recorded over 800 of Cashflow Ninja, the flagship podcast, and then there's also another show called Cashflow Investing Secrets, which we recorded 150 of. About to launch another one too, Reset Investing Secrets.
Awesome.
So we keep on plugging away in the podcast world.
I'm like you, man. Maybe we can actually just talk about that from a podcaster to a podcaster real quick, because as you know, I have another show, Dream Chasers. We've got the Lieberland Show. We did the Nothing But Net podcast, I think, with you, which was a cool little, you know, about 30 episode show that I did with Michael. Do some Twitch streaming as well. A lot of people don't know that, but I'm relatively active on Twitch. You go to gooballs.io, GOOBALLS.io. It's an NFT project. But anyways, do you ever feel like there's a cap as far as how much podcasting you can do?
You know, I just look at what's practical and what people need at that time. So I started Cashflow Ninja in 2016, and it was focused around helping people escape the rat race and the matrix. And the solution that we discuss is through cashflow investing. And that, since 2016, I mean, that's become our main brand. And I mean, it's just kind of blew up all over the world, 180 countries, millions of downloads, and so forth. It resonated with a lot of people and it helped a lot of people. And then people wanted, because the show's long form, right? So sometimes it could be 45 minutes to an hour. And then because people wanted kind of like a quick take, a hot take of an insight or an idea, or just current best thinking that's out in the cashflow investing marketplace, we launched Cashflow Investing Secrets, which is about 10 minutes. And people love that because they could take one quick thing within 10 minutes. So that kind of like filled a void, which was, there was a big need. People asked me, you know, is there anything short that, because I don't have a lot of time, and I love what you do, but sometimes it takes me a while to get through one of the longer episodes. So the marketplace spoke and we came up with that solution. And the reason for Reset Investing Secrets is because, you know, cashflow investing is great. And I love cashflow investing. And you can escape, like I said, the rat race and the matrix through it. But we're living through a different time right now. We're living through a time period that, I mean, it only happens every 80 to 100 years, the time period that we're in right now. So, I mean, you cannot do the same things now what you did 5 years ago and expect the same results. So we wanted to share that too with a lot of folks, because a lot of folks have been reaching out and saying, MC, what do I do? I see all of these things coming, you know, all over the world, all of these dangers and these threats, and I could see where this is all going. How do you protect and how do you build wealth during these times? Because it's going to be a little bit different from the other content which you've shared. And, you know, I couldn't agree more. And I said, yeah, absolutely, you should be doing a lot of different things right now. So to just put that into one place for folks, that's why we're rolling out Reset Investing Secrets, because it's a little bit different than the cash flow investing strategy, which we've covered. So, yeah, I think it's, you know, I've just always, as a business owner and an investor, kind of looked at what the market wants. And then I try to come up with solutions. Because usually you found people that they've come across a challenge or a problem, and they want a solution for, you know, they want a solution for it. So we try to come up with those in our network. So, and just with our business. So the marketplace has spoken, and that's why I've got those three kind of verticals under the Cashflow Ninja brand. So is there a cap? Yeah. I mean, there's so many hours in the day, but those are kind of the three podcasts that we're putting out right now.
Awesome. Yeah, I know. And we really do. We talked about this before the show. We're going to give you guys one call to action here today, but I can't help but talk about some of these other things that MC has worked on. So really, when I look back at my professional career, entrepreneurial journey, whatever, MC's show really moved the needle forward for me in just realizing what's possible, what people are doing out there to create wealth for themselves, for their families. And then it's been cool to see, I think initially listening to your show, you know, I met you through Hunter, very much, you know, libertarian anarchist type of mindset. I don't think that topic came up on a whole lot in your initial interview with him that I heard, but I was just like, man, who's this? I think I even told you, I for the first time I heard you speak, I'm just imagining some like super clean cut, like English guy in a suit sitting in like the 38th floor in a building in Manhattan or whatever. I don't even know if 38th floor, that's kind of short for Manhattan, is it? But anyways, and then I find MC and we connect, and I mean, still the man, but I was like, oh man, he's way more down to earth than I thought. And he also sees the world even more through a lens that I gravitate towards. And you could probably speak to this. It seems like you, as you mentioned, you've listened to your audience and what do they want. And not that you have gone away from like talking about people building and scaling their businesses, but there is this kind of, as I would call it, anarchist attitude about your show that I really like now, and just how you've continued to like grow and carry yourself. So am I seeing it right? Did you start off, you didn't start off like, you know, the quote unquote crazy person when you first.
No, I would say this. So for, you know, in my life, I had a gift of growing up in South Africa during a very interesting time in the country's history. So we went from a fascist apartheid government to the Marxist, like pretty quick, you know, within like a couple of years, actually. You know, in the early 90s, folks can remember, you know, like by 1990, Nelson Mandela was still like the, you know, the most feared person in that country. And then at 91, he was released, and 94, he became the president. So it literally went like within 4 years from the fascist to the Marxist. And now it's 30 years on. So what I mean by I got a gift by being there and being a young man during that time is I saw the world for what it was. And I realized that this is all nonsense. You know, it's just politics is show business for ugly people, like Gerald Celente said. And I realized just what a complete it's sort of like, you know, people call it an idea that governments are an idea. It's a terrible idea, of course, but it literally, I mean, if you ask people, what is the government? Oh, it's that, you know, that building over there. But that's not the government. That's a building, you know? So it is essentially this idea, and within the ideas, people believe in all the stuff. And I just started to see as a young man that, wow, people believed everything. When the one group was in charge, then it transferred. We just went 180, and now people are believing everything that this other group is putting in front of us. Like, I felt like I was the only sane person in an insane asylum, right? but yeah, so no, it formed and shaped my worldview. So I realized that everything that I was told is a lie. And then it started to unravel that everything that we're now being told is a lie. So everything's just made up by governments. So I started to realize very young that I got to think for myself. I got to critically analyze everything. I got to continue to ask questions until I almost run out of them. And I never do, because the quality of your life will be determined by the questions you keep asking yourself. Not necessarily the answers that you come up with, right? But when you do ask great questions, you're going to come up with better answers or better ideas and thoughts. So I realized that was a gift for me during that time. And then through, you know, I am, you know, my heritage, you know, is that of a Afrikaner, a Boer. in South Africa, and by nature too, culturally, they're very libertarian, right? The Boers were the folks that, you know, if you read about the history of South Africa, the Great Trek, that essentially there were Dutch and German and French settlers that all married into each other. They farmed. They were very self-reliant. They grew their own food, and, you know, they're very entrepreneurial by nature. And as the superpowers at that time were fighting for control of South Africa, whether it be the Dutch, whether it be the British, whether it be the French, whoever was in charge, they never wanted to be ruled by any of them. So eventually, when the British took over and settled the colony, after the Dutch had landed there first through the Dutch East India Company, these Boers were like, no, we're not staying under I'm British rule. Are you kidding me? I'd rather go into the interior of Africa full of wild animals and poisonous snakes. And I'd rather do that than be under these, you know, the colonial power. So I think there's an element of that too, to it. But I think, you know, my worldview, like I said, was shaped as a young man. And, you know, on my show, I've always, you know what I found interesting is people have never, I've never like just continue to talk and said like, yeah, I am an ANCAP, I am libertarian, I am a freedom oriented person. But I think in the content and in the manner in which it presented, people just come to that conclusion, you know, because before even saying anything, people listen to my show and they go, oh, he's definitely a libertarian and an ANCAP, and he doesn't believe in all this nonsense with governments and politicians, and he's all about sovereignty and freedom and so forth. So,
yeah. Oh man, I love it. A lot of that. One thing to emphasis that I want to emphasize on, you talked about government being an idea, and I got this from Jeff Berwick years ago, and I still share it with so many folks. And I actually even have a t-shirt. If you guys go to IX9, I is in Idaho, X is in xylophone, nine, the number nine, IX9.shop. There is a shirt on our website that says government, and broken down, it means control, mind control. If you look at the yep. core roots of the word government, it literally means mind control. As you mentioned, it's an idea. And I mean, kudos to them for being so blatantly obvious with the world population and people just subscribing to it. It's like, we are your mind control. And the majority of the world goes, yeah, we love it. So just, you know, challenge yourself to take a step back and really just look at, you know, do I believe in mind control? And, you know, for both of us, it's a, you know, we don't. And it helps you ask those questions that you're talking about that'll create more sovereignty, more freedom in your life. So, I would just want to plant this seed and circle back to it. We talked, and if you can't go into detail on it, that would also make a lot of sense, because it's starting to get into like that level of who's really running the world. But you mentioned some families to me when we connected the other day that I had never heard of, that are kind of like maybe behind who's really running things. A few names we discussed. I just want to plant that seed and circle back to it, because the other thing that you said earlier was sovereignty, freedom, and you've got kind of like a framework for international freedom lovers. Could you just go through that with our audience real quick? Yeah,
absolutely. So here's the framework that I'm sharing with folks right now. So, and there's three components to it. It's sovereignty, freedom, and then there's legacy. So I'll start on the sovereignty piece. And the reason why I start with the sovereignty piece is it's very important. I think people have realized in 2020 how important that is, because I know a lot of people that are financially free, right? Like, just they've crushed it. They have freedom of time. They have freedom of money. Money is no longer a reason why or why they're not doing something. They have freedom of relationships. They don't have to hang out with people that they don't want to hang out with. And also they have freedom of purpose. So they could do whatever they want, work whatever they want to work on, something that's aligned with why they are on this, you know, this planet, right? So, but they realized that, yeah, they might be free, but they're not sovereign, because all of a sudden now your wings are clipped. You can't get to your private jet and just whisk off to another place. Yes, I know that there were some places still in the world that you could do that, but for the most part, you couldn't. And then they started to realize, wow. So if the power goes off, then what happens then? You know, I don't have access to my and the production of my own food. I don't have my own water supply. And then, of course, you know, when the power grid goes down and there's no food, and there's also there's no water. Well, there's another threat now arriving, and that is, well, people are going to start behaving badly around you because they're also out of electricity and energy and food and water, right? So now you have to have the means to protect yourself. So a lot of people started to realize in 2020 that they're free, but they're not sovereign. So on the sovereignty perspective, let me start with a mindset. So I'm originally from South Africa. My family's still there, still my friends. Or in South Africa. And for anyone that's paid attention to what's going on in South Africa, like I said, we've had Marxist rule there now for 30 plus years. There's only been one ruling party, by the way. They have elections, just like in most countries, every 4 years. Guess what? The same idiots win every time, you know, and they stay in power. So the country's being run into the ground completely. It's a complete train wreck. I'll give you an example. Some parts of the country, they don't have electricity for 10 hours a day, right? So there's no power. And now if you're living in South Africa, there's a mindset which, well, there's several mindsets you can have. You could still have the mindset of, oh, I believe in this entity, this fictional entity, the government, and they have to protect and help me, and they need to take care of that. Well, if you're going to do that, you're going to be in very, very big trouble. So the other option and other mindset to adopt is, why would I put any part of my life in the hands of these criminals? I wouldn't. I mean, I would be crazy to do that. So I'm going to take control over the power situation and make sure that I am energy independent. I'm not going to, rely on the government to give me electricity? That's insane. That's just a crazy idea. So I'm going to make sure that I'm energy independent. I'm going to make sure that I have access to my own food and grow my own food and trade food amongst the neighbors that I have in my community that are also on the same page. Same thing with water, having access to my own water well. And then, of course, having access to the things that I need to protect myself and my family, whether it be, you know, weapons and equipment, whether it be just a home defense system, whether it be, you know, a security kind of system that you have set up, you'll be in control of that. So you don't rely on the government for those things. It will never happen. You don't rely on the government to give you electricity, food, water, or to protect you, or to come to your aid when there is, you know, like an intruder or somebody attacking where you live. You'd be insane to do that. Now, if you're in the West, you might be like, whoa, that's kind of crazy. This is the mindset that people need to adapt all around the world. You know, and one of my friends in South Africa said it best. He heard somebody complaining about the power, and he was almost like triggered with this person complaining, because he's like, the person would say something like, well, I don't have electricity for like most part of the day. And he's complaining about it. And he's like, dude, why would you complain about this? You know that they're not going to do anything. Just take care of it. Figure it out. Come up with your own solution. And then, by the way, and this is the great thing about, if you really kind of look at kind of like a ANCAP society, which there's pockets of in South Africa and Africa, the marketplace figures all the stuff out, all of it. Mm. You know, there's entrepreneurs crushing it right now, helping people with energy. There are entrepreneurs in the food and in the water space. There are entrepreneurs. I mean, people have made a fortune in Africa just in the security space, helping. You know, there's even like private contractors that have started a company protecting neighborhoods, protecting wealthy and affluent people and so forth. So that's the sovereignty piece. It's starting to think like, nobody's coming to save you. What do I need? And there's many different things that you need. And that's the kind of the stuff that we talk about, you know, in my mastermind. The second thing that you need is the freedom part. So sovereign is unplugging you from systems that are collapsing, and there are globally. Pick a system it's collapsing. So figure out a way to decentralize yourself from systems that are collapsing. The freedom part is, how do you build and grow and scale a business in a turbulent, chaotic world? And also decentralize that business from shocks that could happen when systems collapse. So there's ways to do that. And then the other part too is the investing part. How do you protect the capital that you've produced in your business, and how do you grow that during an environment where systems are collapsing all over the world? And there's strategies and tactics for that. That's under freedom, because that'll provide you the freedom, right? You know, in the end of the day, if you think about it, if you truly want to be free, you have to have your own independent income source, and many of them, whether it be your business and investments. And then the final piece is legacy. You know, people would say, you know, and I've heard so many people talk about legacy this, legacy that. It's a very overused word. I've struggled to find a different concept. A lot of people, especially in the world that I operate in, talk about leaving a legacy, right? And there's many ways that you can do that strategically and tactically through proper legal entities and structures. And, you know, that's a whole different podcast too of how to set that up. But one of the things that we encourage people is to live your legacy. Now, you know, people, especially if you have children, and I'm very passionate because I've got young kids too. Children learn by observing. You know, try to tell like a 4-year-old or a 6-year-old something without showing them. They're like, they wouldn't quite get it. But if you show them, this is how we live. We are sovereign. We're free people. They're going to pick up on that, you know, and that's kind of the legacy that you can leave, is live it now. Be the leader that you need to be for yourself, your family, the community in which you operate, your business, and your investments. Don't expect anyone else to come and lead you. And we have great people in the freedom world, right? And in the ANCAP and the libertarian world, there's some great, great people. But lead yourself, lead yourself, lead your family, your communities, your business investments. Don't wait for anyone else to lead you. I think most people that are listening to our conversation know that they can look at quote unquote leaders out in the world, because these people can't lead you across the street. Literally.
Right.
It's, collectively, it's the most unimpressive group of leaders I think I've ever seen put together. They used to at least have people that you could like kind of think like, oh, okay, maybe they're presentable as leaders. I mean, they're not even presentable as leaders anymore. So that's the legacy piece. So sovereignty, freedom, and legacy.
Powerful stuff. Someone who was on the show recently, and Liberlandians, everyone tuned in right now, I want to say it was episode 92, if you want to cue that one up, but I'm sure you know him. Mike Cobb was one of our guests of ECI Development.
Mike's
definitely
great
dude, pioneer in the space of anarchy and freedom, and just a workhorse. I mean, that guy, there's some people that you meet that you're just like, I can't believe how hard this person works, and somehow they're still like, they just drank 8 cups of coffee. That's Mike Cobb. But he's, you know, he's helped create communities all over Central and I believe South America, being Panama, and I don't know if he's branching out anywhere else anytime soon. But if you're looking to live in a sovereign community like MC's talking about, with like-minded individuals, ECI Development definitely fills that void and also helps save you the time of having to go find your own, you know, farm or plot of land or whatever. It seems like a really streamlined setup that he has, and definitely someone who I'm going to continue to keep in touch with, because that's always just a good option too. So
yeah,
check out
my, and I'll add to that too, what you just said. I think that your communities in the next 10 years, a community of shared value, whether it be your physical community that you live in, or even virtual, because there's great virtual communities, though, that's going to be your best investment. I think it's going to be better than any, you know, precious metals or crypto or real estate or anything that you can find. I mean, the communities are really, I mean, that's where it's at, because you can learn so much from them. People that in all of the communities that's in the freedom and the liberty movement that I'm a part of, it's just great people, you know, just trying to help everyone and share what's going on. So I just wanted to add that, because I think it's so important.
I mean, yeah, exactly. And again, we run in a lot of similar circles, and it's nice to be reminded, I'd say in many ways, like, cause if we just spent all day watching TV, which I know is something that probably neither of us would even want to do, but if we did, we would feel very lonely with, the ideas that we're sharing here. And thanks to these communities, you realize, wow, I'm definitely not alone. If anything, there's, you know, several people who are starting to, I saw a great meme the other day. It says, it's like a guy, he's got a cup of tea and he's smiling kind of like this. And he's like, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm a things aren't adding up and it's pretty obvious theorist. So before we start winding this one down, or maybe on this note here, we recently, you and I, just in a private conversation, talked about some famous family names, people who always wonder, oh, is that who's really running the world type of thing? And I think we can comfortably say like names like Rothschild, Rockefeller, all these names that a lot of people always wonder, what's going on there? But you shared some names with me, and I don't know how far down this rabbit hole we can go, but it just challenged my way of thinking, because I thought that I had a good lead on what I thought was going on. But then you shared some, you know, Roman Empire type of references that I had never even heard of. So I guess what I would say is just dive in where your mind is at with what you feel sharing, comfortable sharing publicly.
No. And like, here's what I will share is that when you're a truth seeker, you pursue the truth wherever it leads you. And it could lead you to some pretty dark corners of the world, which makes a lot of people uncomfortable. But the folks, even in the freedom and liberty movement that I really admire and respect, is they just go wherever their search leads them. And they continue to go they go as far as they need to go because it's taking me there. So I go there. So what I will say to this is, I think that, you know, no one can say for sure and point fingers. There might be some people that can. But, you know, I think this is a moving target of trying to get to the bottom. But where I've gotten is that I think a lot of stuff that is presented to us and to the world, too, even in the freedom and liberty movement, that we think that we know who is kind of like, you know, the people pulling some of the strings.
The Wizard of Oz.
And, of course, there's fronts, right? Yeah, there's fronts. I mean, I almost get nauseating talking about the World Economic Forum, but that's the front at the moment. And all of those folks are chew toys, in my opinion. So they're going to be chewed up and spit out because they were just put there in place, right? Whether it's the World Economic Forum and all of the quote-unquote, you know, I call them members of the ruling class. I don't call them elites because there's nothing elite about them. At all. So they're just, and also I don't like rulers, but they pretend that they are, you know, so that's why I kind of use that. I'm trying to still figure out a better terminology for that one, of a word that I can use. I don't like that one so much too, but at least they're pretending to be part of this ruling clause. But really, if you think about people that you can see and that you've heard of, are not the people that is behind any of this. They are chew toys. These are the people that anger is directed towards. So if you think World Economic Forum, you know, Klaus Schwab, you think Bill Gates, you think, you know, all what's the other Bond villain, the local flavor of Bond villain that's coming out there, Yuval Noah Harari, which is about that we won't have any free will anymore. I think he's also just a chew toy. You know, you're in the North America, and especially in the United States, the fronts that you see, the CDC, the FDA, and
I'll admit, Fauci. I was even someone who had a lot of hope in him, and maybe it's just where I was at in my journey. But, you know, at one point in time, I did think that maybe Trump could change things. And then now we just got another chew toy.
He's a chew toy. These people are put there. They're put there for a reason. All of them are chew toys, and it's almost like they treat the public, and probably rightly so, the majority of them that's very, very asleep, and just say, hey, look, here's a chew toy. Go and chew on that for a little bit. You know, to use an example, you're in the United States where I live now. People have been talking about a balloon up in the air for almost a week. This is the level of stupidity in public discourse that we have. So, yeah, so these folks are the same as that balloon. It's chew toys. So to get to your answer in the back is like, the people that you can't see, and even that you might think that, oh, there's, you know, there's all these think tanks and these groups that exist in the background too, and families and royal families and so forth. You know, what I've come across too is there's names of families that maybe a small amount of people have even heard of, but those are the huge power players. And these families, I mean, you trace their roots back to like the ruling families in Rome, right? And you find out that, oh, they're still at a lot of the center of all of this. You've mentioned the Rothschilds, right? So they're kind of like, a lot of people are kind of onto the central banking thing. Most people have not heard of it. There's
the famous quote by one of the Rothschilds, you know, I care not who makes the rules as long as I'm in control of the money, something like that.
Yes. And then also, you know, the Sassoons is kind of like the Rothschild family of the East. And then you have families in Rome, which you've never, you know, nobody's heard of them. The Orsinis and the Colognes and Colonnas and so forth. And there's so many of them, the ruling families that date back to the ruling families of Rome. So anyway, so who's behind all of this? I mean, you know, it's a moving target, like I said, but I think that what people think, you know, and I think there's a lot of it in the freedom and the liberty movement, where they've kind of realized, okay, these are chew toys. And even like the lair behind these people are chew toys too. And now that you kind of, the names of certain families that are out there, they might be chew toys too. So how far does this go? I don't know, but I can tell you this, it's definitely not anyone that we would know about and their names that we would know about. And it goes back centuries. This is not, you know, these are not families that you'll find on the Forbes richest list, which is, again, these are characters that have been created, that play roles. You know, if you look at the names that's on there, you know, Warren Buffett, father was a congressman. You know, how hard can that be? You know, raising right. a bunch
I,
of capital actually, investing.
I don't know how inside. I don't know how I didn't know that until now.
Yeah, and then you look at the Bill Gates, you know, their family and what that family's into. You look at the Elon Musks and what that family's been into. So, I mean, these are all created entities, you know, heroes, you know, Jeff Bezos, you could look into any of these people for 5 to 10 minutes and just critically look at this and go, oh, okay. These are, I mean, they're kind of just, again, characters in this game that, or this show, this production, you know, that's why
cashflow nirvana.com is where everybody's got to go.
Yeah. The world is a stage. So yeah. And I'll just end the answer with this, that it doesn't really matter to me now who these people are and where the buck stops. It's all what you can do on the ground level and what impact you allow them to have into your life. And trust me, they do have some sort of an impact. There are dangers and threats out there, but you have to take a look at what's coming and how you can turn those into opportunities.
Totally. Totally. Just like how you turned growing up in a turmoil type of period in South Africa. And, you know, you've clearly made lemonade out of what many would consider a lemon. So, cashflownirvana.com, it's the place to go, it's the place to be. That's your mastermind. Again, we've spoken a lot about what you're building and creating there, and I think I even remember a few years ago when you first started stepping into the mastermind space, you and I went back and forth a little bit. It's just like being around like-minded people in this day and age is totally it's just a way to do it. So where can our listeners go to, I mean, I guess that I already said it there, but what can they expect when they go to cashflownirvana.com?
Yeah, if you're a business owner or an investor that is freedom loving, that is loves liberty, and you have a libertarian and ANCAP kind of a worldview, then that's going to be the place for you. It's where business owners and investors get together, and you're going to be a part of a community where we all realize all the problems that are out there, all the dangers, all of the threats, all of the challenges. And we all realize where this is going. So what we do in that community is we keep monitoring all the threats, the dangers, and the challenges, but we also brainstorm of how we can turn those into opportunities first protect ourselves and then capitalize on opportunities. You know, I think right now, I'll just share this too, that I think this is the greatest time to be alive if you are a business owner or investor, because what you do as a business owner and investor is you solve problems. There's just too many of them. There's almost too many of them for anybody to solve all of them. So there's so much opportunities. And the one thing that's going to play into people's advantage too is the information gap is something that we've never, ever, ever, ever seen in our lifetimes. Probably like in the past, there's been gaps in information, but really we have narratives now and we have a reality, and there's just no connection between the narratives and the reality. So if you recognize this information gap, can base yourself in reality and be in a community of other people that do the same, you're going to be able to just absolutely crush it during this time, and just to be able to capitalize on life-changing opportunities for yourself, your family, your community, your business, and your investments. So Cashflow Nirvana is the community, the mastermind that I created for business owners and investors to be focusing on turning, you know, these turbulent times into great times for you. You know, and there's a lot of folks in that mastermind too from Zimbabwe and from South Africa, which has been a great benefit, because they have definitely, I mean, Zimbabwe was the precursor to what is happening in South Africa, and South Africa is the precursor now to what's happening into Europe and in North America and in other satellite countries like Australia, New Zealand, you know, and so forth. So I think folks that have lived through that experience too and have seen Marxism kind of firsthand have a wealth of knowledge to share of what to expect and also what opportunities to capitalize on.
Love it. Yep. I'll be hanging out in there, and I think if you want to, I guess as far as pricing, I remember you shared a pretty cool pricing structure, and I don't know if you're quite there yet in putting it together.
Yeah, I mean, it's a one-time payment, but it comes to like $2 a day, basically.
I like that, $2
annual subscription. Yeah, and I mean, because we're just trying, to get the right people there. We're trying to build that community, and you know, just kind of grow it. And I think, you know, more and more folks are going to start to realize that, you know, they need to essentially figure out how to get through this and how to get out even better on the other side. So that's why I build it.
Yeah, love it. Thank you, MC, for hanging out with us here today. The trails that you've blazed over the past, I mean, what you're 7 years in on your podcasting journey, and in many ways probably feel like you're just getting started. So just thank you, and thank you to our viewers and listeners as well for investing your most valuable resource with us here today, your time, which I say that on all my episodes, and I think I got that from you too. So thank you, awesome. Man.
Thank you. This has been awesome, as always.
All right. Liberlandians, we will catch you in the next episode. Thank you for tuning in. Go be free.